Good evening, Abayisai. Good evening. Okay, we're going to be learning some fascinating Chodesh. Okay, Sim Kuf Samech Tes. We started it yesterday. We're going to continue. We're going to be leading into a whole new world of halachas. We're bringing about the shamash that we started yesterday, our smelling foods. We'll be talking about waiters. We'll be talking about a very interesting minig as well. We'll be talking about handing out food to somebody who may not make a brocha. And that will lead us to Simon Kuf Ein, which I hope will be touched on tonight, which is about the starting of the Simon of Divrei Musa, Sheinag Ba'odon Besuda, about various, it's not Musa in the literal sense, but more about appropriate behavior. What did he say? Oh, very good. Etiquette, that's right. Etiquette of how one should eat. Obviously, if it comes from the Shulchan Aruch, it's obviously Torah, and it's obviously Halacha, but it's very, very, it's really lots of very new halachas to be learned. Okay, we started yesterday the halacha of Dinah Shamash Besuda, which is about smelling of foods. We all appreciate, we started yesterday the topic of if you smell food, it could be, it's a huge tzar. It causes a person a real, an agony. Imagine an agony that you smell good food and you're hungry yourself. We know what it feels like and a person is... It's really agony. We saw that in sometimes we even find that somebody really fasted, he could perform Uberes. We discussed this. They could even be potentially dangerous to smell food and this craving for food. It's not brought down here, Sakona, but the concept is certainly so that if you have, it's a huge agony and tsar to smell food and not being able to eat it. Hence, the waiter, the shamash that we're going to be talking about in this seif, is a waiter who serves food. And traditionally, the way it used to be is that a waiter serves food. Well, can he or can he not eat some of that food that he's serving? Can he or can he not? So the Shulchan Aruch wants to see to the needs of a waiter. And if a waiter is serving food and he's not allowed to eat himself, well, then we don't want to cause that. We're just mensch. We're all a mensch. And Torah wants to see to him as well. And the Torah therefore says, Shulchan Aruch, kol davar she'mevim lifnei ha'odom, she'yesh le'reach. Anything that is being brought before a person, she'yesh le'reach, that's a strong taste. Ve'odom toiv lo, and it's something which has a strong smell, and a person craves for it, has great appetite for it. Tzorich liten mimenu le'shamesh miyad. The shamesh, you need to give him some of your food. So, you're the balabais, you're the master of the house, and you've got a waiter who's serving food, you must give him some of that food that he's serving, because he may otherwise be smelling the food, and he may be craving for the food, he may have huge appetite for the food, so you must be a mensch, you must give him some of that food. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, what happens if somebody doesn't have a particularly strong smell? What would be the halacha then? Doesn't smell, no halacha indeed, that's Mishnah Berurah's sense of cotton base. It's something which has a strong smell. Mazik le'odom. It could hurt. It could cause harm to a person. When you eat before him, and it's got appetite for it. And you don't give him immediately. Something which has no smell. You can eat first, and potentially you could give him later. Or maybe you might not even have to give him at all. Can I come on, Simon Kuf Ein Siv Gemel? Now, how much do you need to give him? How much do you need to give him? A full portion, half portion, a little bit? How much do you have to give him? Proper portion. You're a big machmir because the Mishnah Berurah says they've gotten Gemel, Shamash Miyad, Ubed. Oh, so the Mishnah Berurah said he will. Ubed Dova Muet Sagi. A little bit will do the trick. A little bit will do the trick. We all know what it's like. After the tinnitus, yeah, when you start eating, when you've eaten a bit already, it's much better already, you know? You need to have the food. When you start like, how much? Now you feel that a little bit will do the trick, no? A little bit will do the trick. So, it's true that you don't have to, a little bit, he's already, the shamash will be around it. He won't have that craving, that starvation in him already when you give him a little bit. It's going to be a lot better already. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. What happens if you've got that deal with your waiter? You say, okay, I'm going to employ you for a year, or I'm going to employ you for a week, I'm going to pay you for a day, And the condition is, I'm going to pay you X, Y, Z. And the condition is, clearly that I'm not going to give you any of the food that is being served. And the fellow said, okay, fine, I don't mind. What happens then? Next meal, you serve him that hot, what is it? The hot cracker, yeah. What do you have to, what's the, is that, does that work or not? He'll be ready for it. He's prepared.
He's prepared. I'm not, I can't
say that. What do you say? No. Doesn't work? Okay, says the Mishnah Berurah. The Kosu Achoinim. The Achoinim, right? Doesn't say who here. Tafilu Meisnei Meshalsoi. Even if you made the condition with a waiter, Peshas Chirosu, when you employed him, lift your atzmai, you exempt yourself from it. Loi Mehani Atznai. It will not work. This condition does not work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can't make such a condition. You're obligated to give him food, even if you had stipulated in advance. Yeah. It doesn't make a difference. Yeah, yeah.
As well, but what about on the first day, on the time is, but what if you do the same on the first day, if you eat and they smell a few and see some people cooking?
On the first day, you have to fast.
Yeah, but it depends, it can be very dangerous.
If it's real dangerous, then you're allowed to break your fast. But otherwise, if it's a fast, you're not allowed to. But what would be the halacha? Rabbi, let's say you make a simcha. You make a simcha, you make a chasna, and you've got musicians. You make a shav brachas, and you've got people there who are not the waiters. Okay, the waiters were just covered. The waiters you need to, not physically the waiters, but people who are around, musicians. You've got the band. You have to give them some of the food or not. They're smelling it. Oh yes, of course they're smelling it, but they're not waiters. Do you have to give them or not?
Yes, you should.
You should. You should not. You don't have to, but it's nice. But you don't have to. You said you have. What do you, Taina? You have to, you don't. You do. Okay, so, the Mishnah, what?
People do.
People do. Yeah. Because the waiters, what happens is generally with the waiters is they will see to themselves before. They do. That is generally, that's the meaning of the caterers. They will serve them beforehand. They will. He may not be on your cheshbon, or he may be on your cheshbon, but they will eat beforehand. They will eat beforehand. Now, the musicians, what the minig is, that you will give. Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah says over here that certainly that, yes, that you should. That you should, Mishnah Berurah be halacha. But be halacha asks even further than that. What happens if he's not a musician? And what happens if he is not a waiter? What happens if it's a random person walking around the meal? A random person. Do you have to give him or not? Random person who walks into your bar mitzvah.
What's the hiccup tip, sir? He wasn't invited, right? Because if he was invited, he'd be feeding him anyway.
Good. He was not invited. And he just shows up. You know.
I find it difficult you have a crisis with someone who wasn't invited and crashed your party.
Okay. Says the Bira Halacha. Dibra Maske Leshamish. Ve'afilu ene Meshamish Pasaud. I mean the Bira Halacha on the side. Even if he's not a waiter. Rak Mevashel HaMaechel if he cooks. Ve'afilu ene Mezoinoise. Well, even if you don't have to feed him. Ve'shas Mashmoid Yubioise. And in Gemara it's evident even more than that. Ve'afilu Be'odom Be'alme. She'ene Meshamish. Even if it's a random person. They don't have to really see to. Him Eira, if it happens, she'oi mecham, he happens to be standing there. Be'shah, at the time, she'meviloi, that food is being brought. Tova Reicha, v'kiu, something which has a strong smell. So, ichlite loy me'at, you must give him a little bit, little time to eat, kedei shalo yovoli desakone, that he shouldn't reach danger, shouldn't be dangerous. Yes, if he does walk in, and he just, you don't have any obligation to feed him, but now, he's smelling all that food. You have to see to him. You have to give him something. And Mishnah Berurah says, amazing. He says that he has nothing. So why are we talking about Hashamash? If the halacha is not only relevant for Shamash, why does Shulchan Aruch speak about Shamash? Shamash, which is a waiter. If Shamash from the Uchad Milzanakt, it's just generally, it is a waiter. Shamash bevada oimet Shamash, because the waiter is only going to be standing there. B'shash review. Mashenken be'otom achet, the eino derech shiyoyshe b'shash ochrim. Generally, it's a waiter. This halacha is relevant for a waiter. But it's not only a waiter. The halacha is equal. Anybody who is standing there when food is being served, you must give him some food. Some, only a little bit. You must give him some food. And Mishnah Berurah now continues that this is probably the source. This is the reason and the rationale for the minhag, the general custom, which is widespread in whole Klal Yisrael. Kshe'odam nichnas lebeis chaveiroi. When you've got a person walking into your house, when there's food going on, lebeis chaveiroi she'oichlin, when food is being served, and somebody just walks into your house, for whatever the reason may be, koirin loy lechol. You ask him to eat something. If you are eating and somebody walks, the minig is, oh, why not to sit down, have some soup, have some cake, have a biscuit, have a mezoinas, why don't you do it? The minig is to invite anybody who comes in whilst you are eating because of this minig. Isn't that beautiful? This is the minig. So it's not just when people come and say, oh, that's the chavek, sit down, why don't you join us? It's not just politeness, but it's actually a minig, says the Mishnah. Isn't that beautiful? It's the minig to invite somebody to sit down whilst you're eating because of this Shulchan Aruch here. Yeah.
So I can see that if someone walks in that you feed them, but I find it difficult that there's actually a chiyuv.
There isn't.
Otherwise, you could walk into Orleans and say, oh, I can smell some beautiful food. You have to give me something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you walk into,
you're 100% right. There's very obviously, I agree with you, there's obviously a distinction between a waiter and a random person. And indeed, the Mishnah doesn't say Medina. He says, it's. You're right. It's not Mamash Mikadin. You're right. He explains the minhag. You're right. But this is right. Now, what is important, as just when somebody makes a simcha, it's just very important to remember that. When you make a simcha, you should all make many, many simchas, and you've got people around, you're making a bar mitzvah, or you're making shavu brachas, and you've got people serving and helping, whether it's musicians, or whether it's waiters, or whatever it may be, you have to remember that if any food is being served that has a smell, which I suppose most smells fit in that category, now what do you think? Most foods, not everybody, I suppose maybe melon not, but most hot foods have a certain smell. So you have to see them, you have to give them something. You don't have to give them a 5-course meal. You have to give them mashehu, a little bit. But you have to, you mustn't forget them. And I think the meaning is to give them a full course for the musicians and for the, no, I think that's generally the meaning. All courses, you give them the whole thing. Yeah, I think that is the meaning. Okay, good. Good, continue Shulchan Aruch. Ve'lo yiten loy, Umines Chasidus uliten loy miyad mikol min menvin. The Shulchan Aruch says Umines Chasidus is not to give them a little bit only, but Umines Chasidus is to give them from every single food, even foods that don't have a smell. That means you're going to give him the melon at the end as well. You're going to give him the challah at the beginning as well. But that's the minig. That's Umines Chasidus. That is not Ikra Aloch. Ikra Aloch is only foods that have smells. But if you want to be even more kind and even more special, you're going to give him the whole full 5-course meal. Next halacha. Don't give it to him whilst he's holding a cup. Remember, we're talking about a waiter. The waiter, under normal circumstances, is going to have a kois. Now, kois is a cup, but it's not just the normal cup. It's not the cup that you have by the sitting down eating. It's more that the large thing that is going to, that you're going to be pouring into the drinks, in the individual drinks. So when you give him that food to the waiter, don't give it to him whilst he's holding this large kois. Guess why?
Someone's gonna get wet.
Exactly, because less is might spill it. Oy biad barabais. We'll see soon what that means. V'davka l'shamash, this halach is only regards to l'shamash, who is holding this cup, but somebody else, but anybody else, mutaliten b'chia gavna, you're allowed to give it, just to him, the shamash in particular, you mustn't give it to him because he's holding that drink, so you mustn't give it to him because he may spill. V'also liten l'pusas pas, and you, this last halach in this eve, you may not give him a bit of bread, unless, yodea, you know about him, should not tell Yodav that he washes his hands. Don't give him bread unless you know that he washed. Because if he didn't wash, what are you over on? If they, that's right. Now, that's the only thing you've got. Ooh, then you have to tell him to wash, and then you can just assume that he's going to do it. You have to just say something. Yeah. Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah says, in Sifkot and Vav, which is the last line of the narrow lines, Biyodoi biyad ha-shamash, don't give it to him when the shamash has his old large cup, the shamash b'toich shu tohud b'lekichas ha-pusa, because if he's all busy and he's getting all excited about getting this food, he shofech ha-kois, he's going to pour that drink, maybe the shulchan, and as you said, somebody's going to get wet. So the Shulchan Aruch is very considerate, Shulchan Aruch is very careful, that just don't give him, you have to fill your halacha. You need to make sure he's going to get some food, but just make sure he's not going to hold that drink because it's going to spill. So give him, but make sure he's not holding it not holding that drink. Good. Continues the Shulchan Aruch and say, yeah, so we're learning, don't give him bread unless you know that he washed. See, basically it's a continuation of that, which is a bit of a recap that we spoke about earlier. Don't give him any food, Ella. Don't give anybody any food unless. Don't give food to anybody unless you know he's going to make a bracha. Now this is a bit of a problem. The Ramah says, "V'yesh mekinin soma lenient im noisel oni." If you give to a poor person, betera stoker if it's stoker. So if you're giving it stoker, then you don't have to investigate, is he going to make a brocha, is he not going to make a brocha. But if it's not a stocky case, if you're giving anybody any food, you must ensure he is going to make a brocha. It's not always so poshut. Can you think of potential problems? Yeah, what happens to people who are not, absolutely. What happens in business meetings, occasionally, yeah, can happen as well. No, you can't. And you know, you've got a person you have a business meeting with, and it's a really important meeting, and he happens to be a Yid, and he happens to be a Yid who's not showing the Torah mitzvahs, and you're trying to make that 50,000 kind of deal with him. He said, you know what, do you mind to make a blessing over this food over here? It's not going to go down so well. But you want to give it, so what are you going to do? So the answer is, it's not so poshut, it's mamash not poshut. The only way out of this is a slightly controversial and very widely quoted psak over Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. It's slightly controversial because there's not much makoy for this, and it's very commonly applied by many rabbonim because it's just very relevant shaila. Reb Shlomo Zalman is mechadesh, and I investigated that Reb Shlomo Zalman really did hold of that, although it's not published in his, but Reb Shlomo Zalman did hold, that if you think that by imposing a bracha on somebody else, he may not get closer to Yiddishkeit, but he's going to get fed up of from Yidden, he's going to get that picture of the Yidden that they are religious coercion kind of thing, that but if you say, no, I'm your friend, but just make a bracha, if he's going to take it the wrong way, he was going to feel all, come on, you know, what are you telling me what to do? I mean, if he's going to get more if his approach to Yiddishkeit is going to be more negative because of that, if his attitude towards Fum Yidden is going to be more negative because of that, then you there's no lif neva, then you can hold back. That's a Pshom Zamza. We can all understand it, but it's very little basis to Mamash B'Matya Shulchan Aruch Pesach. What do you think about it?
Well, if the person is somebody who's just looking for an excuse to pick on from people anyway, then you kind of, whatever you say to them, he's going to react against it and take umbrage or whatever. A lot of the people who would react negatively to suggest to make a brocha will just take anything the religious person says react negatively to it anyway. So, whatever you say to them is real.
Absolutely.
If whatever you say to them is going to put them off, then maybe I'm not sure we should apply. But if it really is the thing that would put him off, then maybe, I don't know. Hard to understand that.
Yeah. I mean, from experience, I mean, sometimes we feel that people are much more negative than we think. I mean, from one particular case, One particular example, I remember there was a person who had was renting, and the landlord was not a Fum Yid, and he came every month to there was in Israel, and the landlord came every month. He was not a Fum Yid, the landlord, and he came every month for his money. And the person who was renting, he was very hesitant, because when he came, you needed to give him like a bit of drink and a bit of mezonos. Landlord comes, you want to give him that covered. And but he knew that the person doesn't make a brach, so he didn't know what to do about it. On one hand, you want to give cover to your landlord. On the other hand, to serve him a drink and cake without making a brach. He came without a couple, he came without, you know, what you meant to do. So, but he realized that this is quite a shaila. So he didn't want to rely on Shlomo Zalman's heter. So he said, you know what, I'm just going to go straight out. I'm going to tell him, listen, this is my house over here. I want to honor you and I want to give you a bit of cake. I want to give you a drink. But please, this is my house. Do you mind to respectfully, can I respectfully ask you to make a blessing? These are the words, or at least say Omen to my broch, and I'm going to be moitzi you. And he was a bit nervous to say it, but contrary to his expectation, the fellow had no problem with it. He had no problem. He said, okay, of course, I don't normally make blessings, but I'm happy to, of course, 100%, and it was fine. So sometimes we tend to have that attitude that, oh no, he's going to hate me forever because of that, but ultimately it's not even such an issue. So while B'Shem Zalman, we hear where B'Shem Zalman is coming from, but I think we have to realize that's not Me'ikar Adin. This is quite an interesting cooler. Yeah. Because you don't have a heter, you are not allowed to be partner with somebody who's going to eat without a brocha. You're not allowed to do anything to do with it. Well, until that's the time, yeah, you're right. It's compared. That's right. Very similar to the Tilas Adam. You're not. That's right. Yeah.
You might have a problem also. You might embarrass the person.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can.
If there's other people there, you're going to ask them to say anything. You're like, getting embarrassed.
Are you okay? I want to make a brocha. I want to be moitzi you. I mean, there is. Yeah, I'm gonna. Can I? I would like. I'm gonna have a drink now. And I know there's this. Yeah. So one has to do it with chokhmah a bit. But yeah. Yes.
Normally, you see it's such a chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman, because with the exception of Birchas Hamazon, which is midiraisa, everything else is midirabbanan, and there are going to be plenty of midiraisas which would require a person not to cause somebody to be more. You know.
No, it is, because Shlomo Zalman is only specifically with regards to Hilchos Brachos. You won't say that if somebody, you know, if you want to invite somebody to come, I mean, we're going off the topic a little bit, but if you invite somebody to come to Shul on Shabbos and he's driving down, he said, you know, if he's coming down, that's going to bring him closer to Yiddishkeit.
Well, that's the right, so where's the
And if it's going to be there, if it would be the Rabbonon, okay, he's going to do it with Shinui. Whatever you're going to say, you're not going to say anything as well. You just are not. And Shlomo Zalman also wouldn't, of course. So I'm just saying that there is a chiddush in it. I'm just pointing out why there's a chiddush in it.
So you're saying you're a from dry cleaner, and a nun from Yid comes along and brings a shayla.
It's a very big shayla. It's a really big shayla. So it would be a very big shayla.
So you couldn't apply Rav Shlomo Zalman's.
Correct. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Okay, so Siv Gimel carries on with the following halacha. Hashamash mevorech b'ruach pri hagofen al kois v'kois shitnu loy. The shamash, now going back to the waiter, if he's lucky enough, if he's not lucky enough to get a bit of wine during the meal, so he's going to make a bracha of b'ruach pri hagofen. What happens if he gets a second time wine? Will he still make a b'ruach pri hagofen or not? Says Shulchan Aruch, yeah, he will. Every time you give him a cup of wine, he's going to make b'ruach pri hagofen. Now, why is that? What happens if you drink twice wine during the meal? Pardon? Exactly, very good. So, of course, if you drink twice wine during the meal, you're not going to make twice b'ruach pri hagofen. So what's the difference in the waiter and a stammer person? Why is that? When we drink wine during the meal, you make one brocha, even if you drink a few times. And what about this waiter? If he drinks wine twice, he's going to make two brochas. What's the difference?
He's on the move, so he's moving around, so it causes a
hefsek. And not, well...
The waiter's
moved. So the Shulchan Aruch says a different reason. It's not because of the hefsek aspect of it, which is an interesting point. It's not so much because of that. Rather, the reason is because he does not. He doesn't. You don't need to give him wine. If you're the master of the house, you don't really need to give him wine. You need to give him a bit of bread, we said, or a bit of something. You don't need to give him wine. So he's not expecting it. So when he made the b'ruach pri hagofen, all he was expecting was, oh wow, that's nice, and you're drinking that wine. But you never thought, you never lucky twice. you're never going to be lucky twice. So he thought that's really nice, and his mind was specifically for that one cup of wine. He never thought there's going to be a second one coming, as opposed to when you're the master, as you know very well, one cup of wine is never one. So you're going to, you have in mind the potentiality of having more. Yeah?
Would that be the case only the first time?
Very interesting. Okay, that will lead to a shot a bit soon, which we're not going to cover, but to discuss later. But it's a bit similar to that. So I'm just going to finish this part of this Shulchan Aruch. Hashamash bevorich poer be'agofen al kol kois v'kois. On every cup of wine you make a brach, chashit nulein is given to him. Lefi, because shukenim lach, it's as if he is changed his mind, as if it never occurred to him to have two cups. With regards to the brocha at the end, so if he only makes one brocha achoyna for all the drinkings, because obviously that will cover for all of them retrospectively. So, yeah, okay, the rest we'll cover next time in Yetzah Hashem. Just to recap, we spoke about the obligation of giving a shamash from food if the food was smelling nicely. We extended that not only a waiter, but anybody else as well. We said if it doesn't smell, you don't need to give him. We learned that's the minhag, says Bialocha, says very interesting, that's where the minhag comes from, to give anybody food if he comes in the middle of a meal. We learned about the fact the person can't be moichel. If you have that kind of contract, it doesn't help. You still need to give him. We moved on speaking about don't give him food if he's not going to wash hands. We learned don't give him food if you know he's not going to make a bracha. And we learned that if it's full stocker, that itself is acceptable. We learned also that a waiter doesn't expect any cups of wine, so he's going to make a bracha only on once if he is given one, but he's not going to have in mind a second cup of wine. Not so any balabais. If he makes one bracha, he knows very well there's going to be more wine coming later. Wishing you a good Shabbos.